How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be discussing the loss of Thomas Massie, as well as a couple other things, and then I have a whole bunch of NFL stories to talk about. So, without further ado, I guess let us get into that. I suppose I'll talk about the Thomas Massie thing last, as far as the politics goes. So, I guess, up until then, I suppose, we will talk about, Donald Trump has recently, Donald Trump has recently refiled a defamation lawsuit seeking at least $10 billion in, damages against the Wall Street Journal over its reporting on his ties to Jeffrey Epstein, after a judge threw out an earlier version over legal, deficiencies. I don't think there's anything like, I don't think there's anything quite like proving your innocence by reopening a lawsuit that you, in theory, already lost. I mean, come on. I mean, Trump's name is all over the Epstein files. You know, I think if he's not guilty, he should probably do, do less damage control. At least it seems like damage control. You know, I don't know. Like I said, his name's all over the files. I mean, it would seem pretty cut and dry to me that he was pretty tied up with Epstein. It wouldn't surprise me to at some point find out that the release of the Epstein files was very not done properly. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure we already know that when they were blocking out the, how they put the blackout bars over things that are confidential, when they were blocking out the Epstein files, they didn't do it right, so they basically just, like, used, Microsoft Paint and, like, you know, highlighted all of it, and then put, like, black paint around it, essentially, so you can just copy and paste it into, you know, whatever, and, have the full notes. Now, I think that, I'm, you know, pretty sure that they did not follow the rules as far as how you were supposed to, what was supposed to be confidential and what wasn't. I think they did a lot of keeping, people safe. You know, Trump, I think, was probably one of them. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, if, I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, Bill Gates is mentioned in there, Bill Clinton's mentioned in there. I don't know if Barack Obama's mentioned, but he's, I think, photographed in there for some reason, with, like, on a, like, a panel with other people, like, I remember Hillary Clinton was one, I don't remember who all was there, but, I mean, obviously Wexner, he had to get deposed, and they're trying to take his name off of the Ohio State, buildings. By the way, now, it's going to sound like a sponsorship, but, it's obviously, well, I guess not obviously, but it's not, I mean, I don't think it really matters if you take the Wexner name off. I mean, it's not like Wexner is doing the work there or anything. It's not like you're firing Wexner. It doesn't do any good to change the name of the hospital. I mean, you know, he paid all a whole bunch of money, donated, I guess, a whole bunch of money, to build the hospitals, and, you know, they're already named Wexner. I don't see a point in changing the name. Now, Wexner's actually where I go to, my doctor's appointments at. You know, I don't know, maybe I'm biased somehow, but, I mean, I don't know the man. But if you ever need, never need anything, and for some reason you're going to OSU Wexner, great hospital. So, I don't know what changing the name has to do with anything, but, you know, apparently they want to do away with that. I don't think it changes the fact that, you know, I mean, Wexner's still a powerful guy in Columbus. It wouldn't surprise me if he, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if his name stays on the buildings, pretty much. Also, speaking of Epstein, you know, it still is kind of astounding to me that we haven't, I guess, dished out any consequences for the Epstein files. You know, Europe has. I can't think of all the people who have been, jailed, resigned, that kind of thing. Had their careers ruined because of it. It seems to be doing stuff everywhere else, just not here. So I don't know exactly what is up with that, but yeah, I mean, perhaps there's a problem there that we should look at, but I don't know that we do, you know. It would seem to me that there's a bit of a problem with that, but nobody seems to care. So yes, Donald Trump, once again, filing a $10 billion lawsuit against the Wall Street Journal. Like I said, I think if he was truly innocent, he probably would have just let it go. Clinton, everybody thought Clinton had all kinds of ties with Epstein, and you know, he went deposed and wanted all the files redacted completely and, you know, that kind of thing. I think at the very least, Bill Clinton, if he was a co-conspirator or whatever people were claiming he was, I think he certainly did a better job of covering up than Donald Trump did. He kind of freaked out. Originally, I don't even remember if I can think of the train of events because, it was something like he ran on releasing the Epstein files, and then he won, and then he just didn't release the Epstein files, and then his people got mad at him because he hadn't released the Epstein files. So then he, said that they were a Democratic hoax, and that, I don't know, it was a whole big thing. Kash Patel said that the Epstein files were, maybe it was Christy, no, I don't know, somebody said that the Epstein files were on their desk, ready to be signed off to be released, and then they, turned around and said that there are no Epstein files, and that it's a Democrat hoax, and then they turned around and said that there are Epstein files, but it's only Democrats in there. It's just, I don't know. I think if you were gonna, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you see that and be like, yeah, these are rational people. They're idiots. Every single one of them. Donald Trump is an idiot. RFK is an idiot. Pete Hegseth is an idiot. Kristi Noem is an idiot. I guess she doesn't work there anymore. She got, I guess she didn't get fired. She resigned. Pam Bondi, an idiot. I mean, you could just keep going on. I mean, McMahon, Lindsay, I can't even think of her first name. The lady who's in charge of the Board of Education, Linda McMahon, maybe. I think it starts with an L. Anyways, WWE lady's in charge of the Board of Education. I mean, come on, we got the biggest block of no-brained people in office right now than it would seem we have ever. So, yeah. Oh, forgot to throw Kash Patel on there, speaking of. Yeah, he's another one. Idiot. anyways, I was asked to look into this by a caller last week, so I figured I would go ahead and touch on this. Trump apparently is going to use the plane that was gifted by Qatar as Air Force One. I was sort of right, kind of wrong. He is going to use it as Air Force One. I was wrong about that. But when he leaves office, it's going to be donated to the Trump Library. So, we are going to use a plane donated by a foreign country that's definitely not bugged as Air Force One. I don't know. I'm sure it's bugged. I don't know what else to say. I don't know. I guess everybody else is just, I'm sure it's fine. It'll be okay. Definitely not bugged. It'll be fine. No bugs here. I don't know. It just seems like a bit of a security problem to me to have the President of the United States flying around in a plane that was gifted to us by a foreign country. Now, to be fair, I guess, they did have to spend something like I don't know, 600 million, I almost said billion, $600 million or something like that, like you know, 6/10 of a billion, to refurbish it, I guess, is what you would say, to equip it with, you know, I don't know, security devices and whatnot, whatever else they put on Air Force One radars and things, probably, I don't know. But anyways, I think that they should tell Trump that he can't use the plane and that he has to cry about it and grow up and stop taking bribes. I mean, come on. I don't remember... Gosh, I can't remember the story exactly, but somebody has told a story, I believe, on here that they used to go out to, like, get coffee and things with, like, people from the, you know, opposing party, and you'd have to report, like, if they bought you coffee, because apparently, I don't know, it was a whole thing. So, I don't know. I think that bribes used to be taken way too seriously, and now they're not taken seriously enough. I can't buy you a cup of coffee if we're out having a conversation at a coffee shop. But I can donate you a plane, and I can give you a Nobel Peace Prize. Well, I can tell you to hold on to my Nobel Peace Prize. You know, they're not transferable. You know, FIFA literally made a whole, like, I don't even remember what it's called. What they call it? They're like just the Medal of Freedom or something like that. I don't remember what they called it. But the FIFA Peace Prize, I think. Nonetheless. Like, I don't know. It just seems to me like Donald Trump has taken bribes left, right, sideways, and, you know, upside down. I don't know. I don't know that man knows what he's doing. I think he thinks that, well, I guess apparently he thinks right. I mean, nobody's done anything about it. But I think he thinks he can just kind of do whatever. And up to this point, he has been able to just do whatever. Nobody's really pushed back at all. Anybody who has pushed back, in his party at least, has been ousted. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene used to be one of the biggest Trump supporters in, on the face of America. And all of a sudden she started talking. I don't remember exactly what the split was there, but Epstein files maybe. I don't remember. But she started spouting off about how Donald Trump didn't have a, you know, didn't, basically just wasn't friendly with Trump, I suppose. And I remember she mentioned during the whole ACA, you know, the Affordable Care Act and the government shutdown, that the Republicans didn't have a plan to replace the Affordable Care Act, and that Mike Johnson and every other Republican was just lying through their teeth. And guess what? After the government reopened back up, the Affordable Care Act was funded. And, would you look at that? Not a single plan brought to light. Nobody's got a plan. They lied through their teeth directly to you. But we just love it here. Anyway, so far off topic, but yes, Trump is going to use the plane as Air Force One. I don't know if he is currently using the plane as Air Force One, but he is going to. And when he is done in office, the plane will be donated to the Trump Library. Apparently there was a spelling bee going on. That's pretty cool. Shrey Parikh wins the Scripps National Spelling Bee. So good for him. I didn't know that the spelling bee was popular like that, but apparently it was. So, anyways, I just thought that was funny. But yes, so Trump will be using the plane as Air Force One, and afterwards, when he is out of office, it will be donated to the Trump Library. Like I said, I'm sure it's not bugged or anything, and that it's all gonna be fine. That I see no security problems here. I don't know. I think they're just blind, and they're dumb. I don't know what else to say about that. Now, here's something positive. Well, positive, I guess, depends on how you want to look at it. But I'm in favor of this. Now, Trump is trying to do away with daylight savings. So he can, you know, make... Essentially, he's trying to make the time changes permanent. That way, we no longer have to leap forward or spring forward or... I don't know, fall back, I think is the term. Spring forward or fall back. But He said he didn't want to do it anymore because he saw it as costly and inefficient. Which, fair enough, I guess. I don't know how costly it is. I don't know how much money it costs to change clocks, really. I mean, I know most clocks are digital, so they get changed with radio waves or whatever. The airports, usually it's the one in Marion, at least, comes from the airport. Anyways, it sends out like a signal to make sure clocks are set right. Now, I figured that doesn't cost anything more than, you know, what it usually does, so there's that. But I guess if you have, I don't know, what's a big clock tower? I don't know. Like, if you have a clock tower, Big Ben in London? Big Ben that has, you know, the big old clock hands and whatnot, you have to, I guess... I mean, I don't know how you turn that back... I have no clue. Maybe, maybe that is pretty costly to change back the big clock towers. But I could see it being inefficient. That would make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean, there's no way it's efficient to change clocks. I don't see a need anymore. It had something to do with sunlight for the farmers and, you know, the factories and whatnot. During, you know, World War II. But, I don't see much of a point of it anymore. I mean, we got lights. I mean, I guess we probably had lights then, so I don't know what the point of it was to begin with. it is what it is, I suppose. But I think doing away with it would be good. I do not like the time changes. I guess an hour of extra sleep's always pretty good, but then you gotta lose an hour of sleep. Man, talking about sleep's got me yawning. Losing an hour of sleep... is never good. Especially when you stay up super late. That's terrible. But yes, I think doing away with daylight savings would be great. I'd be in favor of that. But, you know. Trump's still dumb. I don't know why, just out of the blue, he decided this is what he wanted to do. But it is. Also, I don't know if anybody's heard. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have. He's painting the reflecting pool blue. Like, American flag blue, I think, is how he refers to it. Like a dark, like, navy/royal blue. But yeah, so there's that. I don't know what the goal of that is. I mean, I don't think it's going to reflect anymore. It can't be... I don't see how it's going to be a reflecting pool if the... I don't think the blue is going to work very well for a reflector. But, you know... I think it, might look nice, maybe, when it's done. I don't know. I haven't seen it, obviously. But, anyways, with that being said, we are on to Thomas Massey losing his primary. Now, so, Thomas Massey, Republican from Kentucky, the 4th District, I do believe, loses to the Trump-backed candidate in the primary, which is Ed Gallarin. Now, I'm actually very upset about the loss for Thomas Massey. I was a big fan of Tom, or am, I guess. He's not dead, he just lost. He's still in office for now. And I don't think he's gonna be gone for good. I think he's probably gonna run for something at some point. Maybe this seat, who knows. Nonetheless, I like Thomas Massey. I think that it's unfortunate that he lost. I'm gonna give you a bit of an overview of him, I suppose. I mean, he was a fan of consequences actually being delivered from the Epstein files. He thought people in the Epstein files should be punished, pretty much, you know, as it goes. He was big on consumer, he's not out of office yet. He's big on consumer protections. He's big on, forcing transparency as far as the government goes, as well as forcing, PAC money to be more transparent. I do know he wanted to redefine, foreign principle at one point, just like foreign money. He wanted a more apt definition for foreign money, basically. He wanted, like, he's big on gun rights. He was in opposition to Trump. I know he was against government surveillance, big fan of anti-surveillance. You know, I could go on. I like Thomas Massie. Thomas Massie was is a good guy, as far as the my political opinion goes. Now, he is labeled a Republican, but I think he's probably more like libertarian. You know. Anyways, I don't know what more to say about that, but he's probably more libertarian, and yeah, I mean, he's, I thought he was great. I actually thought he was going to win his primary. But apparently Trump and a couple other things are the reasoning as to why he lost. Now, by the way, like I said, he lost to Ed Gallarin, whose campaign spent something close to like $26 million. By the way, in comparison, Thomas Massie spent something like $6 million. So he had more than like a 4-to-1, money ratio as far as that goes. He had the PACs and whatnot on his side. As per Donald Trump. And he had Donald Trump, by the way. Donald Trump endorsed Ed Gallarin, and, yeah. By the way, this is the most expensive, representative race in U.S. history. Like $32 million. So, and all of that, just for Massie to lose by, something like 10,000 votes. Now, personally, I think 10,000 votes to lose by 10,000 votes when you were outfunded, like, you know, over 4-to-1 and the other person had the president's endorsement. I think Ed Gallagher was probably a weak candidate. He won, but I think he was probably... Gosh, I keep yawning. Anyways, I think he was probably a weak candidate. Now, I don't know how many people... I don't remember. It's probably something like 130,000, if I remember correctly. Anyways, lost by 10,000 votes. I don't think that's terrible, especially when you were outfunded the way you were. But I think this election is a perfect example as to why we need to get money out of politics, you know, or at the very least, heavily regulate money in politics. It would seem to me that, because I know that Thomas Massie sponsored a bill to, like I said, redefine foreign principle. So, again, basically foreign money, and to force basically transparency on the goals of the foreign, because if foreign money, you want to know the goals as to why the foreign PACs are using money. Or, I guess, more so, what they're using the money for. So, you know, it's awfully convenient, I think, that the guy who is in opposition to Trump and the war in Iran was outfunded 4-to-1 by PACs and Donald Trump. By the way, like I said, he wanted to force PACs to be, not just PACs, foreign money, to be transparent in the spending of their money. So, like, I don't know. Sounds pretty good to me. I think if we got money out of politics, politics would probably be beautiful. Also, I don't know what happened to bottom-up politics. You know, there was a time, to my understanding, you know, I'm in my 20s. But to my understanding, there was a time when bottom-up politics was the way just politics worked. I could be a state representative, and I could just pretty much be in opposition to whoever I wanted to, so long as the people in my district supported me. Because they would support me, their representative, over, say, the president, even though the president is also their representative. Because it was bottom-up. They cared about me more than they cared about the president. not necessarily. To like, anyways, if people liked me, I could you know, support what I supported, and it just felt like politics, or what it sounded like, at least politics was more real back in you know, the days of bottom up politics. It would seem to me that if people want things to change, they should focus on bottom up politics. You know, the place where you are going to do the most good or bad for your community is in your community. The people you elect to you know, it varies based on city to city, because, you know, some people have like charters and whatnot, and have like appointed like a lot more appointed things, but nonetheless, like I guess for at least Marion, you know, I think if you want things to change in Marion, you should probably focus on the city council and, well, I guess not the city council in general, just like the city government and the county government. And, you know, from there on, I'd probably start focusing on, you know, state rep, bottom up. Your county commissioner and your city council people should always be more important than your state rep, in my opinion. Now, state reps do things on a wider scale, but they don't affect you so bluntly, I suppose. Anyways, I don't know. I just felt like that's important. I think people should probably go back some. I don't know how you do it, but I think we ought to get people to go back to bottom up politics. If you like the people who represent you more than the people who are higher up than the people who represent you, then it's pretty good. I mean, you know, you want the Senate and the Congress and the State House to be able, and all the way down, you want them all to be able to think independently. The party working together, in my opinion, is terrible. Does not matter whose party it is. I do not want an all-Republican state. I do not want an all-Democrat state, or Democratic state. I don't know how you would phrase that, or however you want to phrase that. Now, do I have opinions on politics? Yes. But I think it'd be pretty lame if everybody in the government believed what I believe. Now, would I be happy? Probably. But would everybody else be happy? Probably not. That's not how politics works. Politics is compromise. Compromise is king. You can't just build, like, a one-party state and expect people to be happy. And you can't... I don't think that the party should work... I don't think parties should work the way they do, essentially, is the long story short of this. I don't think that you should kind of have to, like... Now, I don't know. I've never been part of a political party, per se. But it would seem that if you do not believe what the party believes almost to a T, that you are not going anywhere. I mean, you know, people lose because they don't support Donald Trump. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense in my mind. I mean, I guess if you believe that Trump is out there, like, you know, saving the country somehow, then, you know, it is what it is, I guess, and you should probably do some reading of the news. But, anyways, with that being said, I will shut up about the politics, as per it just keeps going, I guess. But without further ado, I guess we should get into the NFL stories. Now, we do only have about, you know, 18 minutes here, so see what we can do. Aaron Rodgers is returning for one last season in the NFL. He already said so. There's going to be no long off season of him debating as to whether or not this is going to be his last season, like there has been the last, like, 3 years. He said this is going to be his last year, which doesn't surprise me. I honestly thought he was done after last year. I figured he was going to come back the first year when he was thinking about retiring, but then he didn't retire. The second year, I figured he would retire, because there was a plan for him to retire, but then the Steelers didn't let go of Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin resigned, stepped down. And the Steelers ended up hiring Mike McCarthy. And now I don't know what all you know about NFL head coaches, but Mike McCarthy used to coach the Packers back when Aaron Rodgers played for the Packers. It doesn't surprise me that Aaron Rodgers is going to come back to play another season with Mike McCarthy. He's already got 13 seasons under his belt with Mike McCarthy, and those were during his prime years. It just makes sense. And also, last year, his last pass of the season was an interception, an intercepted pass. I wouldn't want an intercepted pass to be my last pass in the NFL. So, like I said, doesn't necessarily surprise me that he is coming back. But I am excited to see what he can do with Mike McCarthy. Like I said, it was, generally speaking, his prime. I mean, he won the Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy. Even though the Packers have been mid ever since and can't make it through the playoffs, but it is what it is. Anyways, the NFL will also, this has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers, but the NFL will be doing away with the Monday night double headers. Apparently, people did not like that the games would drag on until like midnight, 1 o'clock, and yeah. So that's probably for the best. You know, there were a couple of times I would watch games come Monday night, and I'd fall asleep watching the second game because it would come on late. By the way, apparently a lot of other people did too. Otherwise, I don't think they'd be doing away with the double headers. I mean, I would assume they made more money. I mean, it's not like there weren't people at those games. I mean, the games were. I mean, there were still people paying for the tickets to go to the games. But I don't know, you know, I don't know how their whole ad revenue breakdown works or anything like that. So I don't know, maybe they were just losing out on revenue from the streams. I don't really know. But the doubleheaders are going to be gone for Monday nights. Which, like I said, probably a good thing. Apparently a lot of people were struggling to stay up and watch them, and you know, people had to work and you know, so on and so forth. By the way, a story I found interesting. Fernando Mendoza, he was the number one pick by the Raiders, is apparently working out with the third and fourth team. So he's working out with, like, the third and fourth string players. I do think this is rather interesting. I mean, I would probably have him running with at least the second team, truth be told. I think Fernando Mendoza is a good quarterback. Now, obviously, I've never seen him play besides college in Indiana, but I think he's a good quarterback. So, I don't know. To have him playing with the third and fourth team seems a bit ridiculous in my opinion, but I'm not an NFL head coach. So there's that. But I guess, to be fair, they do have Kirk Cousins, or I guess if you're part of the whole Kirk Cousins fandom, you like to call him Kirk O'Chains. Anyways, Kirk Cousins is also quarterback at the Raiders. So I think they're probably going to start Kirk Cousins at least for the start of the season. I think it'd be good for Mendoza to get some just reps in behind Kirk Cousins. I mean, I assume that if there's a blowout game, they'll put Fernando Mendoza in, or if they're being blown out, they'll put Fernando Mendoza in. Now, I don't know exactly. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if they give Fernando Mendoza the starting job maybe like week 8, 9, 10, you know, halfway through the season, something like that. Especially if the season's not going well. I see no reason to not see what he's made of, you know. So, there's that. I do think that Kirk Cousins is probably one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, he's been a lot of teams, I'm aware. But, he's been solid everywhere he's went. He's kind of like Ryan Fitzpatrick in my mind. You know, except he ended up playing a lot more time with, he kind of has been everywhere. I believe he came from Where did he come from? I don't know. He's been at a lot of teams now that I think about it. But, yeah, he's just like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a journeyman, or, you know, a nomad, nomadic quarterback. He's just kind of, he didn't really have a team. He'd play for a team. Ryan Fitzpatrick was good enough to, was too good to be a backup, but not good enough to be a starter. I think. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I guess, he came from the Jets, and he played for Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think, has played for more teams than anybody else. So there's that. Now, Kirk Cousins has played for the Falcons, at least the last few years. Up until, last year he was traded. Maybe he wasn't traded, maybe it was free agency. Man, I gotta do a better job of keeping up with Kirk Cousins, I guess. But no, I think Kirk Cousins is probably one of the more underrated quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he's probably a 32 team. So he's probably a top 16, top half of quarterbacks, which is pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of teams who are below you. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think Kirk Cousins is worth. I don't know. It is what it is. I mean, it's not like they're going to the Super Bowl this year. I have no faith that they go to the Super Bowl this year. So I guess it really doesn't matter who they have starting quarterback. And now I do think it'd probably be good for Fernando Mendoza to get some practice reps behind Kirk Cousins, like I said. There does seem to be a habit of sink or swim in the NFL. Quarterbacks used to get time to develop, not just quarterbacks, a lot of players would get time to develop. They would draft you, they would sit you behind, in Aaron Rodgers' case, the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers, sat Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre. When Brett Favre retired, they gave the job to Aaron Rodgers. The Packers then drafted Jordan Love, some odd years down the line, sat Jordan Love behind Aaron Rodgers for 3 years, Aaron Rodgers left, we gave the starting job to Jordan Love. It works. So it wouldn't surprise me if they leave him back there to develop behind Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, like I said, is a good quarterback, and it wouldn't surprise me if Kirk Cousins turned Fernando Mendoza into a good quarterback. Or I guess the quarterback's coach, whoever does that, more so. But I figure having a mentor like Kirk Cousins is probably always a good thing. By the way, speaking of quarterback controversies, Deshaun Watson. I know it's been a while since we've mentioned Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson may get another chance to start in the NFL as the Browns head coach Todd Monken is apparently saying nothing but good things about him. and apparently when he's asked about Shedeur Sanders, he just talks about how much progress he's made and, that kind of thing. Now, I'm probably doing a poor job of explaining his conversations about Shedeur. It really does seem to me like he's more leaning towards Watson. Now, I think personally that, I think personally that they pay Deshaun Watson way too much money. There's no reason to not have him starting, honestly. I mean, in my opinion, Shedeur Sanders sucks. Dylan Gabriel sucks. Deshaun Watson sucks. But if you're going to pay Deshaun Watson the kind of money you're paying him, you might as well pay him to play. It has been years since Deshaun Watson's had playing time, so it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up hurt. He hasn't had to play full speed in the NFL in years, like I said. I think they ought to start him just to see what happens, I guess. I mean, they pay him, I don't remember how much they pay him, but it's a fully guaranteed, stupidly big contract that ruined the NFL. To some extent, not really, but to some level. Because after Deshaun Watson got his fully guaranteed contract and then played like dog water, the NFL got together and colluded, and there was a whole lawsuit, and they did lose the lawsuit, which proved they colluded, to not pay players guaranteed money. So like no more fully guaranteed contracts for people. Which is bad for the players, but good for the teams. And also probably good for competition in general. I mean, if the teams had to pay people all guaranteed money, It'd be like the Browns. If the Browns, if somebody paid somebody a fully guaranteed contract like the Browns did, and that person sucked, you kind of just tanked your whole team until that person's off the team. Because now you gotta, what are you gonna do? Pay them out? Because you have to pay that contract. I mean, they signed it, you signed it. So if you cut them, you gotta pay them all the guaranteed money. Which is why they haven't cut Deshaun Watson yet, because they'd have to pay him a stupid amount of money. Kind of like when Sean Payton cut Russell Wilson. I forget how much they had to pay him, but boy, howdy did they have to pay him. Which set them back as far as cap space goes. But it worked out well for them. The Broncos almost made the Super Bowl last year. And I believe they would have made the Super Bowl last year if... gosh, I can't think of their quarterback's name now. It was right on the top of my tongue. Bo Nix. Bo Nix broke his ankle or something like that. Like in the last like two or three plays of the I mean, I don't know. I can't think of the names of the playoffs because there's like the semifinals and the so Super Bowl conference. I don't know. Anyways, they lost to the Patriots, but the Patriots should have lost in my opinion. But Bo Nix got hurt. So there's that. I think Bo Nix would have been exactly what they needed, they being the Broncos, to win. Now, also, I did have a lot of faith in, gosh, I'm awful with names. The Broncos backup quarterback, Jarrett Stidham, that's right. Now, Jarrett Stidham used to play for the Patriots, and you can, Jarrett Stidham doesn't have that many passes in the NFL. You can get on YouTube and just watch every pass that Jarrett Stidham has ever thrown in like a compilation YouTube video. And a lot of them are dimes. Like, he can throw the ball. I mean, like, he threw a good pass against the Patriots in the playoffs. They just didn't let him throw the ball a whole lot. And personally, I think that they should have let him throw the ball more. I think he would have done pretty well. But, you know, happens to the best of them, and he lost. Speaking of paying players a bunch of money, by the way, Matt Stafford signs a one-year, $55 million contract extension worth a max of $60 million with incentives. Which makes him the first player in NFL history to be on track for making $500 million from on-field play. I think they're paying him way too much money. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just like when they paid Patrick Mahomes that 10-year, $500 million contract. Not all, see, but this... It just way too much money. Now, to be fair, I guess, he did ball last year. He was MVP. I do believe he led the NFL in passing yards and had something like 46 touchdowns. I mean, he had a great year. But I don't know. It just seems like they're paying the NFL players way too much, and then they wonder why all the cap space is all messed up. I think they just pay people too much. I mean, there's no reason that you should have to pay Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's not even the best quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion. He played well last year. He has good receivers around him. Actually, he didn't even really have good receivers around him. He did have good receivers around him. I think that C.J. Stroud could be so much better than he is. He's got good receivers around him, but God, he just sucked last year for some reason. Anyways, $500 million is a lot of money, and I don't think Stafford is worth it. I think Stafford's probably on the downhill slope of his career. And, you know, that's not bad. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being on a downhill slope of your career. It happens to everybody at some point or another. Now, there are a lot more stories here I want to talk about, but seeing as we got about 2.5 minutes, there's at least one I wanted to talk about that I think is rather interesting. So, I don't know if you guys remember, but Henry Ruggs III was drafted to the Raiders a few years ago. I think 2024... No, maybe 22. Anyways, I don't recall exactly, but he was drafted to the Raiders, and he ended up in prison after he hit and killed a woman after he was driving, like, or I guess while driving, like 150 miles an hour or something like that, like very fast. And he was also intoxicated. He is up for parole. And he said that should he get parole, like should he, you know, get out on parole, he would be interested in going to play in the NFL. Which obviously it never had any thought otherwise that he would want to go back. But yeah, he said he would like to go back to the NFL, and that he's still interested in having a career there, should he be able to. Because now he came from Alabama, and Nick Saban, said that he had zero problems with Henry Ruggs when he was at Alabama, and it's unfortunate to see that he, managed to throw his life away on accident. Which sounds about right. Yeah, I think that he managed to throw his life away on accident. But, I don't know. I think his NFL career is over. I don't see any chance that he comes back and any team signs him. But, now I've been wrong in the past. I mean, you know, I don't think I was around for Ray Rice. If I was, I don't remember Ray Rice. But I know Ray Rice had the whole elevator incident in which he, like punched his girlfriend or wife, like, unconscious in an elevator. Kareem Hunt, something similar, domestic violence of some kind. The Eagles re-signed Mike Vick after he fought dogs. Rashee Rice he got in trouble for a six-car pileup, after a street race. And he's still in the NFL. Actually, he's in jail right now. But, see, they let him come back to the NFL. They even postponed his jail so he could go play in the NFL. And then he failed, which is the story, by the way, even why I brought him up. He failed his drug test and tested positive for marijuana, which was a violation of his parole. So now he's back, or not back, but he's in jail. So it wouldn't surprise me if push comes to shove and somehow Henry Ruggs ends up back in the NFL, but you know, I think his career is probably over. But anyways, with that being said, there's still plenty more NFL news to talk about, but we are out of time. So, if you want to listen, you can feel free to listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at www.wwgh1071.com. You can download the free TuneIn app and look up WGH Talk. It's on there. You can listen to us on Alexa, Google Nest Minis, just about any smart device or TV. Obviously, whoever you're listening now works. There's all kinds of websites on the internet. I wouldn't go just clicking on any random one, though, so be safe on the internet. Internet's a dangerous place. But yeah, nonetheless, I appreciate everybody for listening. I hope you have a wonderful night, and goodbye.
Marla.
Yeah, Danny's...